You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You're totally right. I think I'm somewhat I'm a person who likes control, who have control over the things I do. But sharing it with people I can rely on and I like working with, it's an even more fulfilling process. That's why the recording and production process of Nocturne was a great experience for everyone.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. Hope you had a glorious weekend. I most certainly did. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal are Montreal's premier metal promoter, and I'm very stoked to have teamed up with them to bring you Heavy Montreal Presents Vox and Hops Brutal Montreal 2022. That will be taking place on September 2nd at Corona Theater. This year's event features Deicide performing their classic album in its entirety, Legion, as well as Cataclysm, who will be performing their classic album, Serenity and Fire, in its entirety, and we have Inhuman Condition that is opening up the gig. Tickets are flying. Trust me, you do not want to wait. You want to pick up those tickets via the link in the description of this podcast because it is going to sell out. This is a unique metal and beer festival happening in my hometown of Montreal. I'm going to be there. Come party with me. Come enjoy life, metal, and craft beer alongside me at Brutal Montreal 2022. I am beyond stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I would love for you to write a review for the podcast. If you were to take just a few minutes to write a review about the podcast, you can say how great of a host I am, maybe. You can tell them how great my guest list is. Be creative, be yourself. But by writing a review, you may actually be the person that helps sway someone's decision about becoming a brand new Vox and Hops head, and that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now, today on the podcast, I'm with Nikita Kamprad of Der Weg einer Freiheit. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops, episode number 345.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Nikita Kamprad of Der Weg einer Freiheit. How are you doing, Nikita?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me. Was really looking forward to this. We have scheduled it back in October last year, so
it's crazy. It's at the point, and I appreciate you saying yes and being open to it. But it's at the point where I'm like, should I close bookings? Because I'm like, what are you doing in 5 months?
Yeah.
Are you free on this date at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah. You know, I'm a guy that loves planning well in advance. So for me, it's perfect.
Oh, good. We're a perfect match then. Let's dive into the shittiest question of the day. The question that all of us love to kick off our interviews with recently. How have you been coping with the glorious years, plural, of 2020, 2021, and most, hopefully not, most of 2022? How have you been coping in these crazy times?
Yeah, it's a very, very bad situation for everyone in the world, obviously. I think we, as a band, and also personally, we were quite fortunate because you know, I built the studio where I'm sitting right now just at the beginning of the corona pandemic. And we wanted, actually, with the band, we wanted to have a live break in 2020, which we needed for writing and recording the album, the new album. And also 2021, so we haven't really been scheduling any shows. And we weren't affected in our live shows and stuff that much from the pandemic. So we were quite fortunate, but there are so many people in the industry, of course, bands doing this full time, who suffered a lot. And that's a very, very bad thing. And right now, in Germany, more and more shows coming up right now. And that's a very good thing. And even festivals for the summer are scheduled. And we're really, really looking forward. And it would be so, so, so bitter for everyone if these couldn't happen. But things are looking good, and we need these shows.
it's such a huge part of us. It's a huge part of our culture to be assaulted at a festival sonically, physically. It's so important to the human that we are, because we've been doing it for so long, and then to have it just taken away. Composing is one thing and writing is one thing, but a live music experience, especially a huge festival one where there's...
That's true. You can never do the same on a home stereo system or something like that. If you're in front of a big stage or even a small stage with a decent sounding system, you feel the bass, you have this loud everything around you and the screaming people. That's a total different experience. And I missed that a lot. We had it back in November last year. We had 6 shows out of 10. A small tour for the release of Nocturne. And we really, really enjoyed it. I don't think I have ever enjoyed shows so much like these.
I'm like having dreams at this point of being back on tour, which is funny. Not even the fun parts of being on tour. I dreamt last night, and this is a true story, that I was standing outside at a gas station with Flo Mounier. And I was like, I really missed this, dude. And that was my dream, and I swear to God.
We
played one show. Show, actually. Vox and Hops' Brutal Montreal, which was a metal and beer festival back in December.
Yeah, what I dream a lot about, and also in the corona pandemic, is like, it's a returning dream sometimes. We're arriving at a gig and we do sound check and stuff like that. It's really realistic. And then just before the show, I'm in the backstage, and the backstage suddenly is like 2 kilometers away from the stage, and I don't know how to get there, and the intro is running already. And this is a dream that comes back. And
that's horrible.
Yeah. It's like your dreams hanging out at the gas station.
No, your dream has more pressure to it. No, I don't like that. I don't like your dream. That would stress me the hell out. That's too funny. I've heard a story when Lord Worm was with the band, they once started the intro while he was on the toilet. Without knowing that he was
with a wireless microphone on, probably.
It would work with the vocals, but Vox and Hops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their lives, music, and craft beer. What beer do you have on your side that we're going to be sharing virtually today?
I just have the very basic Würzburger Hofbräu. It's the most common beer here in my hometown, Würzburg. I wanted to get another beer, actually, but the shop I went to didn't have it. It's actually Jagdherren. It's the beer I enjoy the most, and it's the cheapest one. So that's cool. And but it's all right. It's not a craft beer. It's just a basic beer, but yeah.
Oh, but in the land of Germany, all the beers are so pure and delicious. So you guys are well and above, and they're small batch, and it's not like a huge macro brewery. So I definitely would also drink that if I was there with you and enjoy it thoroughly. But on my side today, I'm going to be drinking something from Cinquième Bottle. This is called Citadin. It is a Czech Pilsner, so a Czech-inspired Pilsner, and they've just recently... have named this beer as their flagship beer, which is rare for a craft beer brewery to do that nowadays, because typically they just keep releasing a bunch of beers over and over again, and sometimes they bring beers back, but they're so proud of this one that they've named this one their flagship. So I'm going to crack this, and I would love to hear about your very first beer. Do you remember the first beer that you drank?
Yeah, I think so. Must have been at a party by my sister. I think she went 16, I'm 3 years younger, so I was 13, and was somewhere in a broken house, something like that. So in the garden, we were sitting in the garden, and I drank the first beer, I had a sip, and suddenly I think I had the feeling, it was not the best feeling, to be honest, was like the taste and the effect the alcohol had on me, on my clean body. it was strange, but I got into it, and beer is always or mostly the cheapest alcohol you can get as a teenager. It's important, so I stick with it, and I like it today. Yeah.
That's when the black metal came in too, in the garden of the abandoned house, drinking that first cheap beer. Amazing. Now, craft beer, it's getting bigger in Germany, but because of the law of purity that you guys got going on there, it's hard for the mass culture to accept craft beer. Have you ever dove into the world of craft beers? Is it ever something that you explored?
Not really, to be honest. I tried some IPAs and stuff like that. Smaller breweries, as you said. We're living here in Bavaria and in Franconia, and Franconia, I think, has the world's biggest amount of breweries in one place. And I'm living right in the middle of this, but I'm still not that much into these, to be honest. I'm just sticking to what tastes good and,
The efficiency of it all, I like it. And it is a beautiful, beautiful Bavaria and Franconia. Massive beer culture, big beer halls, all that. Can't wait to be back on tour. We'll go and drink together.
Yeah, for sure.
I'd love to hear about the soundtrack of your youth. When you're growing up in your parents' or guardians' house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the radio? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
My mother listened to Sean Bass, for example, a great vocalist and songwriter, and my father, and that's mostly the reason why I got into heavy music. He was listening to Deep Purple and Pink Floyd a lot. So sometimes we drove somewhere in the car, and my father put in the best of Deep Purple, some CD, and turned it really, really loud, and I really liked it. My mother didn't like it. She yelled at him. But I think that was the point when I started to really like heavy and loud music, especially the song Speed King by Deep Purple. Child in Time, it's still one of my favorites.
I remember listening to that with my father too, that specific song. Cool. Because the vocals keep going higher and higher.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he was so impressed by that, and I was too. And it's such a long song. Mm-hmm. I think it was something that definitely memorable on my side for sure. And I'm pushing Space Truck and on my son right now. He's getting into it.
How old is he?
He is 3, going on 4.
Oh, cool.
He's really into it. How about the fans that you brought into the house, that you showed your parents? What have been a band that you brought in that was either too much for your parents or something that your father appreciated or that your mother appreciated?
Oh, I have to think about that one. There was not a metal band, but we have been on tour with Moonspell from Portugal in 2016, and they had in their changeover, they had some Portuguese folk music. It's called Fado. Have it running, like a background music, actually. And it was so inspiring. It was so melodic and melancholic. It's very, very sad music. And I really started to like it on this tour, actually. And I asked them what's the artist or the band. And it was... I forgot the name. Too bad. But I went home and bought a CD for my mom, and I gave it to her, and she really, really liked it. That was a cool thing, actually.
I love that. For myself, it would be, my dad really got into Devin Townsend, Accelerated Evolution. Is that the name of the CD? I think it is. He's so into it for quite some time. How about your first shows? Do you remember the first live music experience you went to go witness?
Oh, yeah. It was my first cover band. we played like in a small venue. And it was, you know, back then you met up in the internet like today, but in like chat rooms of a local, of the local radio station, for example. It was here in Würzburg, and there was a meeting of these chat group, basically. and they organized a concert and we played there doing cover songs like Eye of the Tiger, System of a Down, stuff like that. That was my very first show.
Just so I can understand, were you guys in bands or were you all musicians that were in the chat rooms because you were trying to form bands?
No, we were. Actually, I never was in these chat rooms, but my bandmates, they had this going on. I was just in the band and they were like, hey, there's this meeting of our friends from these chat rooms, and they invited us to play there. So yeah, I said like, nice, we have a show.
Eye of the Tiger.
Yes.
System of a Down. That's quite a leap there. I like that.
Yeah.
That was my song growing up.
Yeah, I was very young.
The Rocky movie, right? Rocky 3.
It was just a year after I started playing the guitar, I think, or 2 years.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Why? What made you lean towards the guitar? I'm assuming it has to do with Deep Purple being, they have such a prolific guitar presence in their music. Pink Floyd as well, as you mentioned earlier, from your dad's exposure. What made you move towards wanting to become a guitarist before to start performing? What steps took you there?
Yeah. I think it was always, as I said, this heavy, loud music that just surrounds you if you listen to it very loud. I mean, loud music, heavy music has to be consumed loud, I think. If you turn it at a low volume, it's not the same. And what is like this constant pressure giving you into this music is mostly the guitar sound. I think, you know, the drums have this spikes and transients and, you know, from a music producer point of view. And the guitars are just mostly distorted guitars, just one sausage, so to say. So this is where the wall of sound comes from. And I always was fascinated by this. And I started getting into, yeah, like rather modern kind of heavy music by my friends in school. And started listening to System of a Down, for example, or stuff that was going on MTV and Limp Bizkit, for example. And
I am a new metal child, Nikita, so there's no shame here. I
can be honest, I
pants.
Think, yeah. Or Deftones, stuff like that. Muse, still a big name for me today. And I was always fascinated by the guitar, so it was pretty obvious that I wanted to start to play guitar. And I did that in 2004, I think, just by myself, grabbed an acoustic guitar we had lying around at home, and then asked my my uncle, who was a guitarist, if he could lend me an electric guitar. And he did, and I plugged it in my stereo system, which was not a guitar amp or something, but it worked. And these were the first steps that also led me into writing songs and doing the first songs that I presented to my bandmates in this cover band I was talking about. And then we played the very first own songs, very, very basic riffs, just three chords or something like that. But I learned a lot in these times, like how to play guitar, how to write songs, how to react with other musicians. And then later, it evolved into more extreme kind of stuff, black metal. And now I'm here. I don't know. That's a crazy train ride.
Cheers to that. This Citadin is really clean, crisp, a little bit of honey. Just killer. Sankenbado, killing it. Love it. Let's talk about Nocturne. Your most recent album came out November 19th via Seasons of Mist. I love talking to musicians such as yourself that write music primarily alone. It's something that interests me very, very much, because coming from my experience with Cryptopsy, it's like everyone is in the kitchen. Everyone is working. Everyone is hashing away until this is the song we've fought for hours to make it what it is right now. It's so different for you doing everything on your own. So take me to that writing on your own. Why did it become like that? Especially when you were mentioning when you were younger, just starting with those three chord songs, let's say, to now where the songs are far more complex and are all over the place with post-rock elements and black metal elements, like soundscapes, basically. How does that mentality of I'm going to write this by myself, where does that come from?
And that's hard to say. Maybe it even comes from being a little bit frustrated because you know, being in a band, you can be lucky and find the right people just with your first band and then stick with them like forever, and it works perfectly, and that's great. And I hope maybe you have this experience. And
like, I'm not saying I like them.
You don't need to like that. It has to work musically, of course. No,
but I do know what you mean, because I just had a chat with Dagobah.
Okay.
And he's only had one band his whole life. And I was like,
that's awesome.
This is so weird. Yeah. You're weird. You're not like nobody else has had this situation.
Yeah, but, you know, I had this cover band, then I had another band, and the first black metal band, and then I had like a metalcore, deathcore project for 3 years, where I met our former Der Veganer Freiheit singer, Tobias. And yeah, it was always too much of a compromise for me when I mostly wrote the music in these projects as well. But I always brought it into the rehearsal space, and then we talked about that, and we always had to find compromises that I wasn't really, really happy about. And at some point I was like, now I want to do my own thing. And what came out was Der Veganer Freiheit. I started writing the first album in 2007 and then recorded it in 2009. Also wrote the drum parts with a drum computer, and then released the first version of this album in 2009 via MySpace back in the day. And then it got re-released with a real drummer, because Christian Bass, who's now playing with Heaven Shall Burn, he showed interest in doing the drum parts for this album. So I said, well, that's cool. Here you go. And we re-released the album 1 year later on a proper label. Yeah, and everything was going bigger and bigger somehow. But still, I was always happy, and I saw that also people, the positive reactions by the people on my music always showed me that I'm on the right path somehow. And yeah, I did that, like writing and recording all by myself, basically until the last album, like until Finisterre. And then I realized that, okay, I did 5 releases like this right now. I need to change something. And also because I think I have now found the perfect lineup in the band, like the perfect people. I really love them, love playing music with them, and that's even more important, I guess, hanging out with them and having talks, like just everyday talks. If you can't do this on tour or in the rehearsal space or somewhere, it's impossible to do music with people. So this is a very important part. And after all these years, I now have the impression that I found the perfect lineup. And that's also why Nocturne is an album that was created by a real band, basically. We recorded the whole album live in the studio, everyone in one room and playing at the same time. And we went back into the control room, listening back to the tracks we just recorded, talking with them just as a whole band. And we never had this. And that was a very, very nice experience.
What are the bigger challenges doing that versus going track by track, instrument by instrument, which is what most bands do nowadays?
There are some invisible energies flowing in the room. When you sit in the room together, looking at each other or playing your instrument in a way you wouldn't play it if the other guitarist, for example, plays at the same time. I wouldn't have things like this 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, but just listening to the old albums over and over again, I came to the conclusion that I just wanted to try out new things, like doing this overdub recordings and doing it all by myself again and again. It won't get the band to a new level or get the music to another level. And that's why we decided to record all in the live environment in the studio then.
I think that's amazing. I would be afraid to do it with Cryptopsy.
Yeah, it depends on the musical style, of course. I think like a very technical metal, death metal thing, it might be the better choice to do it in an overdub situation and not live, or maybe just do the rhythm parts in a live thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that works. I don't know.
I can just imagine us like doing it and then have that same person make that same mistake that so manyth time, and we're like, we'll take it from the top again.
that can be frustrating. I mean, our riffs or guitar riffs, they're not that hard to play. It's mostly the right hand just doing this. And you have to be tied with the left hand, of course. It's not that easy, but there's no palm muting involved, for example, where you have to be 100% tight so it sounds good.
Precise.
Yeah. And the drums have to be tight, that's for sure, but fortunately we have a good drummer.
You did get to play some shows for this release. It was cut short by the sound of what you said before. If you could hand pick a tour, the perfect tour package to put Nocturne in front of the perfect crowd, which bands would be on that bill? So basically it would be a show where there's you guys that are opening, two bands on top of you, a three-band package where the fans leave that night and they are a brand new Der Wir einer Freiheit fan.
I could imagine, we play a first, then, for example, Leprous from Norway, and then Emperor. Who have a common history, actually, Leprous and Emperor. I think Leprous have been the live band for Ishan for some years. And I could imagine that this would work very, very well. And I love Leprous and I love Emperor. Emperor got me into black metal. They've been one of the first bands. And Anthems to the Welkin at Dusk is just one of my all-time favorite black metal album. And Leprous is one of the bands, the modern bands, that have such great intensity and musicality in their music. That's just mind-blowing. Every time I listen to them and I saw them one time live, it was just crazy.
I feel like they have a real identity, Leprous. You would hear like just a few bars of music and you would know right away it was them. And not a lot of bands have that, so cheers to them for that.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Andy DeFranco, Wolfpack, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask? Good
morning. I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon.
also a producer, and you also produce all of your stuff. You seem to be very... What's the right word? You seem to like to have control of your projects.
Yeah.
how I'm witnessing, you know, especially with the earlier stuff where you did everything and produced it and then released it and had to find people to perform for you live in those circumstances. Talk to me about those decisions. Is there ever a time that you wish that you could just hand off and not produce it?
Yeah, I think I had this moment when recording and producing Finisterre. It was a fulfilling process on it all in all. But I thought like, well, having some other people I can rely on in the studio right now, just playing the guitar parts, for example. So I just have to play, press record and do the computer stuff. That would be cool. And that was also the reason why I wanted to change that for Nocturne so much. And you're totally right. I think I'm I'm a person who likes control, who have control over the things I do. But sharing it with people I can rely on and I like working with, it's an even more fulfilling process then. And that's why the recording and production process of Nocturne was so good. And so it was a great experience for everyone.
Talk to me about being a producer. At what point in your life did this become a big part of your life? And was it really out of necessity? Because I know that from experience with Chris Donaldson from Cryptopsy, he started recording his own band, which is how he ended up becoming a producer. And then you end up becoming, oh, he's that guy that recorded his band, so we'll go to him. And then word of mouth, and then you keep buying and investing more and more gear and spending all your money on that. And then eventually you sort of get good, even though you never think you are good, which is a producer thing, never satisfied. Is that the similar story for you?
Yeah, basically. And I think that's pretty common that this kind of things happen. Like you play in a band, they're always, you know, you always want to record your music. Of course you want. And there always needs to be one person who organizes this, who can do it in the end. And it was me in the first bands, actually. Even in this cover band, I was the person who recorded the first own songs. And I started to buy more gear or get more experienced. And then other bands came to me. Well, you're the producer of Der Weg an der Freiheit. I like the sound. So can we work together? And I said, yeah, of course. And I think in 2017, besides music, producing music, doing music in Der Weg an der Freiheit, I always had a part-time job. I was a driver for disabled or old people, driving them to a hospital and back home and stuff like that. And in 2017, I know in May, I had to cancel the job actually because I had no more time left. I had more jobs, music production jobs, than the time I had left, actually. So that was a big step for me, canceling a job, quitting a job for your passion, for your professional hobby, so to say. And I'm very happy to having done it this way, because today I can make a living out of it. And
I have your own studio too, which is amazing. Because I imagine before you were renting someone's studio, and now you have your own, which is awesome. After 3 years too, which is great.
Yeah, and
very cool.
Yeah, I don't take it for granted. You know, I'm very happy for any band or artist that come up to me and say like, I like your stuff, let's work together, and that's cool.
How hands-on are you? Are you more of a, I'm going to mix your songs once they're done, or are you going to really get in there and become an extra member of the band a producer, hands-on songwriting?
That's a very difficult thing. You know, it always depends on the person behind the musician or the band. And if like in your case, if it's a band where everyone has a big vision and you have to become a,
everything's a fight.
Yeah, another band member. As a producer, this can be very difficult. But I had some projects now with only one person, for example, and that I must say that this works perfectly. This person writes the songs, sends them to me like in advance, and I listen to them talk about it. I tell him like, this can be done better, or this part can be longer, or some stuff like that, you know. And this person can use it and make even better songs. Then I like doing this. But if it's a band like and I had this who's somehow how to say it probably open for not open for it. You know, there are open musicians and there are musicians that want to have your opinion, but still say, well, no, better leave it like that.
Thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean, this sounds negative, but this is a point where I say, well, okay, then just do your thing. Just come to me when you've finished and I do the mix or mastering and stuff like that.
Yes.
And take the tracks how they are.
Yeah.
Both words are fine, of course.
Amazing. I think I'm stoked for you. I think that's cool that you've built a whole career out of a passion on top of being a touring musician. I love it. I love making beer collabs. I like to make Cryptopsy beers. I make Vox and Hops beers. I released probably 35 to I have 5-6 more coming out in the next few months. Talk to me if you could make a beer for Der Weg Einer Freiheit. What beer would that be? What style would it be? And what would you call it?
I think it would be just a standard Pilsner. It's my favorite, I think, to drink. And the name of the beer.
I don't know. Immortal Pilsner would be
Immortal
good.
Pilsner. Yeah, that would be cool.
I would
like
that.
That would be cool. That's a great name.
I love it. I am very happy and very lucky that I got the podcast rolling throughout the pandemic. So right before I sit down here, right before I connect with the artist, I'm always worried if I'm prepared enough. I'm always worried, is the internet going to work? Are my kids going to be screaming in the background too loud? This is how I've been filling the void of performing live. I get the same little like goosebumps, butterflies in my stomach right before. How have you been filling the void of performing?
Writing music, actually. That was a big part. And producing with other bands. I think the 2 years of the pandemic have been my most productive years in the studio. Mm. And I really appreciate it because there have been producers that had basically no jobs. And I really don't know where they came from, the jobs I had. But I really appreciate it. And that's always fun to be creative with other people, but also for me alone. And I love riding my mountain bike in the summer days. And there was some time in April 2020 when they said, like, this virus is going to be so dangerous and you can't go outside and stuff like that. I was like, well, if I can't go outside riding my bike in the summer, I will die. And I really had these thoughts because they said, like, it's so dangerous. But being outside, being in the nature, that's always a good thing. And I can really get my mind free.
Super therapeutic, and I love being on tour in Germany and walking through anytime I can get into like a forested area, and it's such a, it feels like it always feels like it's such an old territory, big trees most of the time. Love it. Love it. It's one of favorite things to do on tour, especially when I'm in Germany, for sure. Yeah. And drink beer, of course. But one last question, classic Vox and Hobbs wrap-up question at this point. It probably doesn't happen to you very often because you're very busy writing, producing, recording, multitude of projects, your own stuff, other people's stuff, but every once in a while, it happens to everyone. What is your hangover cure?
Well, very bad in this one. I just lie in bed all the day. That's it. Don't touch anything. Just stare at the ceiling. It's a very bad solution to a hangover. But mostly, if it's a very, very bad hangover, it's nothing else I can do. Just lying in bed.
Amazing. Nikita, thank you so much for taking the time, hanging out with me, talking about life, music, and craft beer. I had an absolute blast. Everyone, go check out that new Dedevigainod Freiheit Nocturne that came out November 19th via Seasons of Mist. It's a banger of an album. You're going to love it. Massive cheers to you, Nikita. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Hey, thank you all so, so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. This was an excellent conversation. I had such a blast connecting with Nikita. I loved his outlook on going from being basically a solo artist to now collaborating with bandmates that he trusts. I think it's good of him to have released a little bit of control. I can understand a little bit about that, liking being in control. I'm that way with the podcast. So massive cheers to Nikita for spending some time with me. Can't wait to hang out face-to-face to continue this discussion. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that by going to my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive 2 emails a month that will contain everything that's been going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. You'll get to see which episodes I dropped recently. You'll get to see which episodes I have coming up. You will also get to see which albums the Vox and Hops album review crew have reviewed recently. You'll get to see which albums Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself, has added to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is available on both Apple Music and Spotify. There is just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. I'd hate for you to miss a single thing, so please sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a glorious rest of the week. I have one more episode coming up this Friday, but until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.